everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest.
I am excited about our guest, Neil, and I'm doing great, by the way. Chad Boudreau, hopefully I said that right. I love your last name. Just looks so cool. You've done it all. You started out, you're a lawyer, and then the night before 9/11, you're hired by the Department of Justice. That has to be crazy, but I believe it's what's led you to where you are today. By the way, I'm a Great Dane fan. I love a Great Dane. I don't know if you still have one, but I know you did. And your books have got to be absolutely fascinating because of your fascinating background. And so I know now you're working for a shipbuilder, so you're not in the depths of everything with the Department of Justice and Homeland Security anymore, but it certainly plays a role in your writing. And so I'm curious, is that what made you want to write, or what got you going in the first place to write?
Yeah, thanks for the intro. And I do have a chocolate lab that's kind of looking at me from time to time through my window over here. But you're right. It was, working for the Department of Justice right after the September 11 attacks was really an inspiration to me to want to learn more about the department, and then doing so, learn more about the main justice building, which is the headquarters for DOJ. And in doing that, I found, the secret eighth floor, so to speak, that's in the building that used to be the FBI ballistics lab. And once I figured that out and had somebody give me the tour, literally with flashlights walking through, I was inspired to start writing. And that's where we got started.
See, I think that's so awesome, Chad. And it's just like the experience, right? How you take your experiences and write. Is it almost kind of like I know it's probably a passion why you write, because anyone who writes books, especially, it's a passion. But is it kind of also a kind of way to release some of the tension and challenges that you went through in your life, especially at that time when you were hired? Right after 9/11?
Yeah, I think it's more acute now that, I have a family that's, we stay busy. We have a job that is, that is very busy. And then getting up, I think, in the morning and just having the time to kind of live in a parallel universe a little bit, to get out some, creative juices, if you will, is it's very therapeutic. So it is kind of a job. It has to be a job for those that, I think want to get into writing or, are new to writing. It's got to be a job. It can't just be a side hobby, but you can make it a fun job, and it's definitely a release of pressure.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly those moments that maybe you've had them, Chad, or maybe writing is your superpower. And so there is no kryptonite where it comes to getting writer's block or just not feeling like writing at the time or just not having that motivation. And it can be hard, right, to sit down and be super disciplined. Do you have a discipline that you follow, or how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I have to aim for, at least in terms of discipline and timing, I have to get up early in the morning to do it. There are some times at night that I'll write, but my days stay pretty busy. I have very little time to write during the day. And it does take a little bit of a warm-up time, whether that's over coffee in the morning or just staring at something maybe for longer than you normally would stare at something at night. It takes a little while for me, at least, to get warmed up. And then if I get warmed up, I can kind of tell after, about 10 minutes how far I'm going to go by how strong I start out of the gate. But I think you have to be okay with those, let's just say, mornings where you're sitting down and you're not getting anything done. And you just have to accept that. And then hopefully you get like an idea or a couple of sentences down. There are other times when you may get 5,000 words down. So just it kind of depends.
Oh, wow. Is that the writing thing? Oh, my goodness. I mean, like I've not written. I want to write my memoir at one point, write some marketing books, but I just have not done that yet. I have a publishing company now. My business partner is more the writer. Not me. So I just kind of am the sales guy. But when I think about, specifically how much work it takes to write, I don't know if I have that patience to say I didn't get any words down today. It's kind of like, I guess, where you have 5 sales calls for your business and none of them close. And you're like, what did I accomplish today? That must be the way it feels when you have writers, that kind of writer's block, or really not a lot of creativity that day.
A little bit, but I think the way, and you're right, I think a lot of people struggle with that for whatever reason. I normally don't struggle with writer's block, but if I do, there are times when I'm colder than I'd like to be. And the assurance that I have that I haven't wasted my day is my alternative is watching TV, right? I don't watch a whole lot of TV. I mean, I watch basketball. My Baylor Bears are playing right now. But if I'm watching 2 hours of TV, I get nothing out of that. Like there's no production. So that's really what will bring me down. If I'm watching too much TV and I don't have anything to show for it, I'd rather have 5 words that I wrote down for 2 hours than watching, you know, a movie that I'm probably going to forget about in a month.
That's such a good point. You know, Scavenger Hunt seems like it was a really fun book to write. I would think it was a fun book to write. And I think you're expanding on that though, right? Like there's going to be a sequel. There's going to be more.
Yeah. So we're publishing a new book on August 6th called Homecoming Queen. And that's a small town political thriller. It's not a sequel to Scavenger Hunt, but it is in that thriller genre. And pretty much a love song to my hometown in South Texas. But then there's going to be sequels to Scavenger Hunt that are going to be on the tail end. So I'm writing that now. The little preview there, that'll take place a lot in Chicago. And so, you know, for spring break for the kids, we're going to be heading to Chicago because I've got some places I need to visit. So that's how that works.
So let's talk about the latest book that just came out. What was the reason for writing it?
So, you know, I grew up in Corpus Christi, Texas, and the fictional town that is the center of my new story is Miranda, Texas. And it's basically Corpus Christi, but my hometown is very different than most places I've ever been. It's a diverse town. We very much love being Corpus Christians. And it's not like the Texas stereotype that normally people would think of, where we grew up near the beach, large Latino population, and there is a lot of very unique Texas things, and then there are a lot of unique South Texas things. And it was the perfect backdrop for the story of this courageous protagonist who is an older sister who has to go rescue her younger sister from an abusive family, but then also a hurricane that's coming and barreling in on the city. So very tense throughout, I'm sure that people who love Scavenger Hunt will also love Homecoming Queen.
Well, and that's part of it, right? The tense throughout to keep the pages turning and keep people engaged and excited to read. And I'm sure that when it does come out, it's going to do great. And I know that pre-sales are huge for authors. And so right now I believe it's in pre-sale phase. And so people should jump on it. Homecoming Queen. It looks like it's going to be really great. Are the characters based on people you know?
Not specifically, but I think every character that you come up with is an amalgamation of people that you know. It's interesting because when you read Scavenger Hunt, a lot of the names are similar to names in my family, and my daughter was left out. And my daughter is this amazing, courageous young woman. And so I wanted to write from the viewpoint of, you know, a young woman. It's not my daughter, for sure. Annika Raven is the protagonist. But at the same time, as a you know, white male, you have to be very careful not to write about others that are not in your that are not in your gender or in your background. But I think I did it in a way that was very true to the character that I wanted to write. And I think she's an amazing character, and just the way she overcomes obstacles and adversity is enough of a story. And then all the other characters that we surround her with, very much a Texas flavor, very much a South Texas flavor. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by the depth of some of the characters.
When you think about, you know, creating characters and thinking about where they go and what they do, is it basically when you see somebody that's going through abuse and all that stuff, that you have certain stories or certain things that said, I got to write about this type of situation, because a lot of people go through these things in their lives, go through abusive families, abusive situations, and how they overcome.
Yeah, I wanted to write a book that, you know, in this case, it's neglect is the form of abuse. And so I didn't want to get too dark with it. That's bad enough is when somebody is neglected. But I'm drawn to people who overcome great diversity. And, you know, my mom had me when she was 19, and we grew up together kind of like she was my mom, but it was like kind of like a big sister. And we had to overcome a lot of adversity just to put food on the table. And so those people who overcome adversity and then find a way to conquer adversity and to win whatever they're doing, that I'm drawn to characters like that, real people like that, but then also when I'm reading. And so a lot of my characters are those people. And it's what makes it great to be a writer of thrillers is you're constantly having that tension that's hitting you. And how do you overcome it? And once you put a character in that situation, you can kind of give them the constitution that you think they should have. And then as your story progresses, you're still writing it, of course, but your character takes over a little bit. And he or she is going to start doing things that maybe you didn't start off thinking they were going to do. And so you're kind of growing with your story. And that's what makes it a lot of fun. But then also, it really gives the character, I think, the depth and the breadth that he or she needs to really carry the story.
Well, and it sounds like Annika's strong, like she's just a strong young woman, courageous and strong. And I think to be in any thriller, you probably have to be courageous, but she sounds like such a great character. And I agree with you. I'm drawn to those people too, who have overcome adversity, and not just overcome adversity, but then use it for something good. And I kind of feel like you're one of those. Like 9/11 had to take such a toll on you, PTSD, you know, whatever emotional toll, to be in the thick of it. I would imagine that you had to overcome some things from that. Is that true? Is that accurate?
I appreciate it. In part, yes. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to put myself in the position of the victims at all. I had the great privilege to work on a team at the Department of Justice that was able to put together a congressional program working with Ken Feinberg, who was special master, to help in some small part victims of 9/11, the deceased loved ones, and then the victims who survived that were physically injured. And I was at Battery Park yesterday. I was up in New York doing an event and just driving back toward, you know, in that same area where the memorial is now. It's still a little raw for those who were, you know, in part working on that. I can only imagine what it's like for those that really were the victims. And I'm definitely not one of the victims there. So, but I was just, you know, like I said, privileged to be able to help in some small part those who went through that. But it leaves an indelible mark on all of us, you know, just as Americans.
Oh, it totally does. And, now having multiple books out, how do you promote both? Because I know you still want people to buy Scavenger Hunt. That's, you know, because it's not like a sequel to what you wrote. But so what kind of strategies do you do to kind of, because it's two different like topics and maybe even different audiences. That's the challenge as an author, right?
You can see my shameless promotion behind me right now. Still with Scavenger Hunt. You know, Scavenger Hunt's always going to be my first love, right? So I always want to push that out. But I have a really strong industry of people who have read Scavenger Hunt, people who were Solicitor Generals of the United States, Attorneys General. I mean, some of the Attorneys General of the United States on both sides of the aisle actually told me some stories that kind of made it into Scavenger Hunt. One, like right before we went to print. And so there is the people in my industry, whether it's the intelligence community, the law enforcement community, or just the legal community or Homeland Security committees, they're actually promoting my book for me right now. It's great. They're fans of it. And every time I talk to them, they don't want to hear about what I'm doing for my day job. They want to know when's the next book come out. You know, Blake Hudson was the protagonist in Scavenger Hunt, and they want to, you know, surprise, he survives. I'll go ahead and spoiler alert, but they want to know, like, when's Blake coming back? So I wasn't planning on doing sequels, but after hearing the feedback for Scavenger Hunt, I think all the stories I have in my head can make their way into a Scavenger sequel somehow. So get ready for Scavenger Hunt series.
See, yeah. I'm intrigued by this, Kim, with people with multiple books. Like, how do you do that, you guys? I mean, that's the thing I think about, because you're marketing one. I guess it's like marketing products, except it's very hard to find who your reader is. It's not the easiest thing. I think it's harder than business.
So I have a publicist, PR by the book. They do a great job. And at some point you have to move on to the next book, right? So I now have to move into promotion of Homecoming Queen, but I'm also writing my third book. And so particularly when you have a day job, you're always going to take all your books with you when you're doing book signings. So if I'm at Barnes and Noble, or if I'm at, the Union League Club up in New York or in Chicago, I'm going to take multiple books with me, but at some point you got to move on to the next book.
That's true.
And the Homecoming Queen sounds like an awfully good book to move on to. And it comes out, when does it come out?
August 6th.
Okay. So you've got a little bit of time, but coming soon.
All right. Yeah. So tell us about Scavenger Hunt, because that intrigues me. Okay. Because you're still promoting it. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So Scavenger Hunt is written through the eyes of Blake Hudson, who's the protagonist, and he's a counselor to the Attorney General of the United States. And he's in his late 20s, a little bit over his head for his position. And at this point, we are back now into a world where we have some terrorism threats that are more acute, more like post 9/11. And he becomes a part of a clandestine team that is put together to overcome some of the bureaucratic hurdles. And it's a team filled with people from CIA, DIA, and Delta Force. So it's the perfect team you would put together if you needed all the skill sets to combat terrorism. And they meet on the secret floor that I talked about of the eighth floor of the Department of Justice. And at some point, something goes wrong, and Blake turns from the hunter to the hunted, and they're after Blake, and he's trying to figure out who's trying to kill him and trying to stay alive.
Well, it's good to know that he does stay alive so that he can come back again. That's good.
The only real, she mentioned it earlier, the only real character in that book is Judge, his Great Dane, who lives on Capitol Hill with him. And Judge was a real character. So that was my dog when we moved up. So
have you tried to get that as a movie or series? Scavenger Hunt?
Yeah, well, we're going to keep trying. So I've got a few people in the industry that are looking at it. So we'll see.
And it sounds like one, I'm sure, Homecoming Queen potentially. But when you talk about so many hot button topics of what you're talking about and firsthand being part of it in your writing, that's got to be something like, wow. So it is a step out, right? Doing Homecoming Queen, really, compared to that.
A little bit. And I just want to, before we leave the point on the book, on the movie thing, I would say, like, if you go to Goodreads right now and new thrillers, Scavenger Hunt is the number 4 book that people voted on for books that should be a movie. So getting good traction.
Well, you need to reach out to me, because I have a production company. I'm looking at funding movies. To pitch the Chris Malky has the story of the Road Warriors, wrote a screenplay for the Road Warriors from WWE. It's going to be fictional based, but it's a wrestling movie, and he's having me go out and pitch it. So I'm selling the screen, going out to sell the story. So that's one thing. I got a documentary. So that's why I was talking about the whole thing. It just fits that mold in there, and they're dying for content right now. So you have to make a decision. Do you want to go get something optioned? And this is educating people, because I hear all these people say, I got an option. Well, it'll never be made. Or are you going to go out and fund it, go out and raise the funds yourself, get it made, and then sell it to somebody else potentially? That's the catch 22. Oh, option it. Great. Oh, I'm just going to sit there and wait when my story could go somewhere really big and huge.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Well, I can tell you, like, the future thought on the Scavenger Hunt series is, I mean, I think we have, we are at a good point now where we're going to kind of take over the DOJ space in terms of novelists writing about different agencies. So when you have Tom Clancy, he's talking about DOD. You have other fictional writers. They always pick like one agency that they're focused on. A lot of times it's the State Department and CIA. But there's a vacuum there for DOJ of people who really know what they're talking about. And so with the support that I have, like I mentioned before, we can move Blake Hudson around a lot within that department and have some great stories flowing out of that. So that's the intent.
Sounds great. Kim has her love question. Go ahead, Kim, with your love question.
Yeah. Well, I'm an author too, Chad. And I wrote a book. I dedicated a year in search of the true meaning of love, and the things I found out about love blew my mind. But one of the things about love is it's in everything. You know, you don't hang it up in the coat closet when you get home. It's part of who you are always. And so the love of writing, the love of you've done such diverse things, really. And so I'm curious, like, how does it all come together for you when you are writing part of your day, and part of your day you're lawyering, and part of your day you're parenting, and part of your day you're the husband? And how does it love all come together for you in that?
Well, I mean, I like to focus on things that I love to do, right? And that's where you're going to get 100% engagement from me on the things that I love to do. I love my job, I love my family, and I love sitting down and writing books. And I think I take all of the things that I gather from my day job, whether that's being a dad, a husband, you know, a lawyer for a really great company, and all the experiences that I've had in the past, which, you know, I had my dream job when I was 28 years old. And that allows me the freedom to really sit down with a blank piece of paper, or in this case, a laptop computer, and feel really confident that I can weave together an amazing story that's going to be true to the true expertise and specifications that are required behind my stories, but then also pretty interesting, right? Because a lot of times we can read a book, and if somebody doesn't get past page 20 because you're talking about all the technicalities or how smart you are, then you failed. So you have to love your story. So it's really about taking all that together, coming up with a story that you love, and then just letting it go. I mean, I'll tell you, for Scavenger Hunt, it took me 18 months over 20 years to write that book. I mean, I was growing up, I rewrote it so many times, I can't tell you. And I learned how to be an author through that entire process. I came up with the story for Homecoming Queen, and I could not get rid of it. The story stuck with, it was in my head for 5 years, maybe. I sat down and wrote it in about 8 months. And that's, you know, again, that's in the mornings and somewhat at night. It just flowed because I love the story. So not to say I didn't love Scavenger Hunt, but you learn how to write, like, if you're in the business, you know, you get a little faster and a little bit more efficient. But if you really love your story, then it's really hard to put that aside.
All right. Best place people can go. You have a website for people to check?
Yeah, chadboudreau.com. Right. So chadboudreaux.com.
All right. Appreciate it, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Special Simulcast, Neil Haley Show, and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.